So we come now to the solemn part of the service when the death of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be remembered in the manner appointed by himself with his own authority. That same night in which he was betrayed, that is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And when we take to do with this ordinance, we take to do with holy things, heavenly things, things of great moment and great importance. And therefore it is the practice of the Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland, following on from the practice of the Church of Scotland in our better days, to have what we call the fencing of the table, which is to be an aid to one's own self-examination. Ultimately, those who sit at the Lord's table have their own responsibility to examine themselves, and they are accountable for so doing. In coming to the Lord's table, we're all responsible for ourselves, but ministerially we are to be helpers of God's people in a Presbyterian church. Having lawfully ordained ministers, then we are to seek to help in this duty of self-examination by giving marks of those who should come to the Lord's table, and marks of those who, for the present time, ought not to come to the Lord's table. The gospel table, as is often remarked, is open. The gospel call is a free offer and call of the gospel. But when we come to the Lord's table, that is for those who have the hope the Lord has been gracious to them, that they are born again, are trusting in Christ, and are have the grace of faith so as to be able to feed upon Jesus in the sacrament by faith. In order to help us to proceed further in this matter, I want to read some verses of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, from verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, thus far we may conclude our reading, and may the Lord be pleased to bless this reading of his holy word to us. Well, we've read a passage of God's holy word that has often been found helpful in regard to self-examination. In time past, the Ephesians were far otherwise than they now were. They weren't doing the same things, living the same lives, having the same associations with wicked ones that they once had. When a person is born again, undergoes a saving change, we might well expect that there will be a change in the outward conduct of the person's life. And we know, because of our indwelling sin, even in God's people, there are times when we may backslide or fall far short. But then there is repentance, of course, granted in the Lord's goodness, and Corrective providences at times are blessed to the person. But overarchingly, we see from Scripture, by the authority of God's word here read, that the Ephesians were not what they once were. They were changed people. They were different people. The desires of the flesh and of the mind, well, that's how they were, but they have new desires. Perhaps they can detect them in these new desires warring against the old ones. But there are new desires, a new life in Christ. Where Jesus is in the heart, then there will be fruit in the life. There will be a change in the person. Well, we think about one great change that comes upon a person is to value God's word, so that they can say, who are invited to come to the Lord's table, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." But if we are those who despise the teaching of God's word, we are living our life as though there were no heaven and no hell, and no Christ and no God, such ought not to come to the Lord's table. We can be practical atheists, having our ears full of the gospel, good things, just as people in days gone by when the gospel prevailed, and yet there were still wicked ones. Even in these days, even when there were mighty Puritans preaching the word, still in society there was much degradation and wickedness and sin. And so we need to face up to this. Is God's word that which we are living by? Are we finding Christ in the word? Is he precious to us? Do we fear the threatenings of God's word and rejoice in the promises? Or is it all just a wearisome matter to us? And if it is all but wearisomeness, then we ought not to come to the Lord's table. We're not talking about God's people who may at times be frail in flesh or through a day's work might be very weary and drooping. Of course, the Lord there is teaching us we need our physical rest. There's a time for everything. But if we are those who begrudge the time to come to church and begrudge the time to read God's word, no real love to these things, well, and never have, then we ought to seek it. Lord, give me a love for thy word. Help me to be taught by thy truth, and so on. If we are those who deny fundamental soul-saving truths of the Bible, we ought not to come to the Lord's table. Such as the doctrine of the Trinity, such as the doctrine of the atoning substitutionary work of Christ at Calvary. You say, Minister, why do we need to say these things? Everybody knows that. Because this is public worship. We're making a public witness. So there were people here off the street, as we say, not of the Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland. They're welcome to come here. But that does not mean they're welcome to sit at the Lord's table. There is to be a public witnessing in the fencing of the table. So we sometimes bring in very solemn things, such as the very real danger that even people brought up in the church can imbibe spiritual error. And sad to say, there have been those who have sat at the Lord's table in the Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland and in other faithful churches who are now partaking of the Roman Mass. The Roman Mass. And they sat at the table. They are apostates. They are under the condemnation of apostasy. It is most serious. And they sat at the table. They once were fair for heaven. These are solemn things. As one of the Puritans writes, error ruins as well as immorality. The one pistols, the other poisons. Error ruins as well as immorality. The one pistols, the other poisons. And we say to our young friends here, Take heed what you hear. Take heed who you hear. Take heed what you read. Some foolishly thinking themselves stronger than they are, have sought perhaps online to convince others of their error and have fallen into these errors. They are spiritual errors. There is spiritual power of Satan in them. We need to be so wise. Oh yes, we want to do good. We want to teach others the right way, and there is a place for that. But let us not underestimate the power of Rome. Let us not underestimate the power of others to persuade us if we are unwary. We live in the technological age, information age. There are good sermons and there are bad. There are preachers who preach the truth and there are many who do not. Take heed what you hear. You have a faithful minister of the gospel in Providence set over you. May he be your chief speaker, as it were. Yes, we like to listen to other ministers, but God gives us a minister. And that's the teacher that God has given us. And if he's teaching the truth, which he is, let us give heed to him. Let us attend upon his worship diligently and with prayer and thankfulness. Take heed what we read. Take heed what we hear. Lest we slip into error. You see, if we imbibe error, we need to confess that to the Kirk session. We need to acknowledge that. Can't just keep coming to the Lord's table and we're denying the doctrine of the Trinity. And we're denying the divinity of Christ. Not talking about doubts or fears, but where there is a decided moving away from the truth, that's most solemn to keep coming to God's table, Christ's table. Such is love, the company of ungodly ones, quite comfortable in it, are debarred from coming to the Lord's table. Of course, we can have ungodly friends or relations or associates that we must needs do business with. We're talking about saying in a different way to Ruth that these people are our people. We're comfortable when they take God's name in vain because we are under their spell. We are under the influence of them. And they're ungodly ones. As someone has said in regard to the Christian who is doing business in the world, that he is like a man doing business in the rain. He does it and gets it over with as quickly as he can. As easily as he can. He's not going to linger in the company of the ungodly. Remember Psalm 1, sitting among the ungodly. That's not the place for God's people. If we love to be in the company of ungodly and wicked ones, that is not a good profession. We are to make a profession. And others seeing us, here is a communicant member, but look, they are just involving themselves with the ungodly ones, loving to have it so, not a good witness for Christ. What did Ruth say? Thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. We are to give warning, of course, in regard to leading and solemn and awful public sins of the day. They are public sins for a reason. Many are taken in them. And we warn against those coming to the Lord's table who are in the grip of drunkenness. You must not come to the Lord's table till you repent of that sin. You must get repentance of that sin. It is a soul-destroying sin. I read something of those who are strong for strong drink. You see, we might say, well, it is lawful. But are we strong for it? We can't do without it. Must always have it every evening. We must always have it every day. Then we are becoming strong for strong drink. And is that the witness of the godly? Strong for strong drink. As someone has put it, if we always drink strong drink, if we always drink as much as we can, one day we will drink more than we should. And that's drunkenness. Intemperance, habitual drunkenness, if that is our lifestyle, then we must get repentance. We must not come to the Lord's table. We must repent of our sin. And then come another leading sin in Australia, and presumably here too, all the more so since the advent of the internet, is the proliferation of gambling. Proliferation of that sin, even governments, even people who are of far different persuasion to ourselves are troubled by its evil effects. And we see now, in regard to professional sports, gambling companies are the leading sponsors of many professional sports teams. Which it would seem a very strange thing for a person and for young people in the church to go around with t-shirts and tops of emblazing gambling companies. Very strange thing. Very bad witness. Those that are in the grip of that sin, that ruinous sin, how they need to get repentance, how we need to be warned. It is a work of darkness. Because of modern technology, it can be pursued more secretly than in days gone by. And in days gone by, when a person was going into the gambling shop, they were not sitting at the Lord's table on Sabbath. But now we can get it in our phones, but yet it's the same sin. So we have to be more aware of self-examination in that regard, because these things are hidden from elders of the church, ministers of the church, people of the church in our day. Breakers of the seventh commandment, such must get grace to repent. They must repent of that sin. What once was called living in sin must have been a sin then. If it was called living in sin, it must have been a very big sin to be so called. And it was, and it still is. It hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. If the Ten Commandments changed, then perhaps it would have changed. But no, they haven't. God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. Sin of uncleanness. Look at what we will shortly read. How terrible this sin is. The first four sins mentioned in what we will just shortly read in Galatians 5. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's before we get to anything else. Four times the Holy Spirit draws attention to these sins against the seventh commandment. And again, as with gambling, these things can be pursued very secretly, surreptitiously. And so there's a warning there. If we're living in that sin, in the grip of it, oh, seek grace to repent of it. It's a sin of the flesh. Cannot repent of it except we get help from heaven. That's where we should go then, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is exalted for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins, even these great sins. The sin of Sabbath keeping is another sin. And I want to draw attention to the link between these two. I remember it being told me, because, you see, in Scotland, some societies, even where we had our own branch of the church, were once permeated by the gospel. The Sabbath was kept, even by people who didn't come to church. They kept the Sabbath in an outward way. They were restrained from doing things. And someone said that where in a society the fourth commandment goes, the seventh follows. The seventh goes. And that's how it is. I remember a colleague of mine, a surveyor on the Isle of Lewis, telling me he could remember the first time that he went to a divorce case where he had to value the property for legal settlement. He could actually remember. This was something unusual. A divorce on the island where the gospel was preached. This was unusual. He could actually remember the first time he actually dealt with such a thing. But now the fourth commandment is gone. Family life is terribly impacted by that defiance of the fourth, where the fourth commandment goes, where people do not remember the Sabbath day. We're talking not about Seventh-day Adventist Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. And to depart from the Lord's Day is to defy Christ. And what a solemn position to take. When the fourth goes, the seventh goes. What if the fourth should go in our life? Will the seventh go? Are we diligent in coming to church? Are we using the Lord's Day in a right way? How we need to reflect upon these things. The fourth commandment is to be kept. Sabbath day kept holy to God. Move on to think about those that are invited to come to the Lord's table, such as believe in God's word and have found Christ in it. And they truly value God's word, not only for the book of Proverbs or the devotional elements of the Psalms, but your chief love to God's word is your Savior is revealed in the Scriptures. Christ is there. The Savior is there. Precious things about the foundation for your soul, it's there in the word revealed. And that's precious to you. You're saying, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're thankful for such truths as these. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You come to the Lord's table. You are thankful. Salvation is the gift of God. And I want to express my thanks to God that it is so at his table. Come and welcome you who have tasted that the Lord is gracious and has graciously gifted you the blessing of salvation. You have faith to feed on Christ. Then here is the place to feed on Christ at his table. Such as have an appetite. What's in an appetite? Think some things are bitter, some things are sweet. Sin is bitter to you, and Christ is sweet to you. Then come to the Lord's table. Feed upon Christ to get strength and help against sin. Sin is bitter to you. Christ is sweet to you. And perhaps sin is so bitter to you, child of God, that you have to say, it is not bitter. It's not as bitter as it should be. I wonder that it is so, but I know it is very bitter. And at times it is very bitter to me. But I bemoan the fact that I do not feel it as bitter as I know it to be. Come to the Lord's table. Have you not tasted that the Lord is gracious? Such of you as love the Lord's people, they are your people. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God, said Ruth. And she is an exemplary believer. Forsaking idols, forsaking her own people even, and taking for herself God's people, they are her people. And we don't read that she ever went back to Moab or repented of so saying. She pursued on with the people of God to heaven. Such as can sincerely say with the psalmist, remember me, Lord, with that love which thou to thine despair, with thy salvation, O my God, to visit me, draw near. Come, welcome to the Lord's table, you who can and do speak thus. That's your language, that's your voice. And finally, such as say with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Then you are welcome to come to the Lord's table. I remember that that was the profession of a relation of my own. And before he ever professed the Lord, that was his profession, perhaps indicative of where his soul was going even then, not professing, but gladly now professing. But that's perhaps you will not be sitting at his table today, but is this the language of your soul? Do not let another opportunity slip or go by. Honor the Lord. Lord, you are saying, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Come and welcome to his table those who say thus. Let us now move on to read the passages of God's holy word, make these matters of self-examination plainer than we can. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And again in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5, Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. May God bless to us these readings from his own most holy and inspired word. We shall now proceed to the ordinance then. And I read in order to sing to God's praise from Psalm 116. Psalm 116. While some verses from this psalm are being sung, the elders will bring forth the elements of bread and wine and place them on the table. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while my, I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. If death, cords, and sorrows did about me compass round, the pains of hell took hold on me, a grief and trouble found. Upon the name of God the Lord, then did I call and say, Deliver thou my soul, O Lord, I do thee humbly pray. God merciful and righteous is, ye gracious is our Lord. God saves the meek, I was brought low, he did me help afford. Psalm 116, verse 1, we will sing until the elements are on the table. I love the Lord.
I love the Lord because my voice and prayer shall appear. I will live. Call
Some further verses are being sung from this Psalm 116. We expect that the communicants will come in an orderly way to take their places at the table. And I've been told that there will be one sitting off the table on this occasion. And so we will continue to sing to God's praise from Psalm 116, verse 7. O thou, my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest, for largely, lo, the Lord to thee his bounty hath expressed. For my distressed soul from death delivered was by thee. Thou didst my mourning eyes from tears, my feet from falling free. I in the land of those that live will walk the Lord before. I did believe, therefore I spake, I was afflicted sore. I said, when I was in my haste, that all men liars be. What shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? And so on. We will sing until the communicants take their places at the table, and they will hand in their tokens, as I understand it, to the elders on the way into the table. Let us now sing from verse 7. O thou, my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest.
Oh, my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest, for thus lay up the
warrant for this ordinance and sacrament of the Lord's Supper, as that is found in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We may read from verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not, should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. And we shall now endeavour to follow the example set us by Christ in giving thanks. Let us now pray then. Eternal and holy God, we are those who give thanks for our ordinary meals. How much more we should be ready to give thanks for this meal, for it is a spiritual and heavenly meal that we should prize highly. We pray that we would prize Christ who is set before us in the elements of the bread and the wine, and these blessed and precious symbols that set Christ before us in the Lord's Supper, according to his own divine instituting of this ordinance the same night in which he was betrayed. Truly, the fact that Jesus had such a care for his church at such a time as that, and the fact that he has maintained this ordinance to the present day, and will to the end of time, should give us to be wondering at the care and goodness of the Saviour, who is giving good things to his people. And what a good thing the Saviour has given to his church in giving the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We ought to value the sacraments. Even as we value the preaching, we ought to value the sacraments too, as being precious gifts of Christ. We pray that we would be put in mind of him, and put in mind of ourselves, our sinfulness, our neediness, our weakness. And yet, through this supper, the kindness of Jesus in purposing to furnish a table in the wilderness of this world, and to nourish by his word and spirit, and to bless his people with spiritual nourishment through their partaking of bread and wine in thankful remembrance of him and his death at Calvary. Lord, we are thankful that the truth was proclaimed in that title. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. We are thankful that the truth was fulfilled in Jesus being raised up in the midst of the transgressors and malefactors. We are thankful that the veil of the temple was rent in two upon the death of Christ. That speaks wonderful things to us in regard to the fulfillment of the types and shadows of the Messiah and the significance of the atoning death of Christ. Lord, we pray that we would not soon forget these precious things, but bless them to us Help us to be mindful of them as we partake. Help us to love one another and to cherish the relationship we have one to the other as communicants. We pray for thy blessing upon those who look on, and that thou wouldst be blessing them too with gospel mercies. Grant to strengthen us now for this duty. Set apart, we pray thee, from a common to a holy use, such a portion of the bread and wine as are to be used in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And do us good in thy good pleasure. Help us in our duties, and pardon us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, friends, we are thankful that you are brought here in Providence together at the table of the Lord. And it is the Lord's Supper that draws us together. It is a communion season, but it would be something that would be sorely lacking were it to be the case there would be no table. That could not be, and it is not the case. There is the table, and soon to be set before you shall be the elements of the bread and the wine, the symbols that signify the dying love of Jesus to his people. So we give thanks to God for this ordinance. And the spirit of thankfulness is a spirit that is much conducive to the communicant at the Lord's table. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. All your other blessings, well, they really flow from this blessing. This is the chief good, even Christ and him crucified. And you are to be put in mind of him, saying in your soul, who loved me and gave himself for me. You are to be put in mind of your sin, though not in a way as to despair, far from it, but in a way to be humbled with gratitude to God, that the sin-bearer is a Saviour most sufficient and all-sufficient for you. Yes, you might say, my case is a very perverse case. Such mercies and privileges growing up in the church, or such mercies and privileges since I sat at the Lord's table, and hear what unthankfulness in me, and what sin. The blood, friend, of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And you are to honour the Lord in partaking of the bread and wine, bearing witness for him in a public way in this congregation here today, that he is your Saviour, Lord and Master. You hope to be with him, and he assures you that it will be so. And indeed, we might say, the sacrament is a token for good in that regard on the way to heaven. It is a supper to strengthen you for the way. We will not withhold from you longer the symbols of the dying love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, that he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Like manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, in the Lord's kind providence, you have partaken of the bread and wine, symbols of the dying love of the Lord Jesus, who died at Calvary. In the midst of the transgressors, under the title Jesus, the King of the Jews, and upon his death, that veil of the temple rent in twain. What a mighty sign from God. May we never forget it. I think also of the fact the temple itself was done away in the providence of God, never to be rebuilt to the present day. And that to tell us that these things are of the past. But there is a future for the believer of the temple of God above. A most holy place indeed. Well, you say, how can I possibly enter therein? But you know the answer is here in the Gospel. Christ, that is how you enter into heaven. Who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, with the supper having been partaken of, you should look with expectancy and prayerful anticipation that the Lord would strengthen you, bearing in mind that the blessing, the comfort of it, may not always be administered at the time of the administration of the sacrament, but may be something following. So, when we partake of our earthly suppers, temporal affairs, it is to strengthen us, friends, for our lawful callings. And we would remind you as communicants that you have a lawful calling. Some are called to preach the gospel. Some are called to serve in the eldership. Some are called in various ways to witness for the Lord. And perhaps, as many are called in the witnessing of patience in suffering. And in other ways we are called to a lawful calling as Christian people and communicants. And this supper is to strengthen you for that purpose. There's a purposefulness that should be in the life of the believer. And also, our ordinary meals strengthen us for, we might say, interactions with one another and family life. And we would suggest to you as communicants that too is to be a matter made conscience of. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Seek to have the love of a believer in Christ towards your fellow Christians, your fellow believers. They struggle with temptation as you do. Pray for them. They can become discouraged as you may become discouraged. Be sympathetic and long-suffering and gentle and loving towards your fellow believers. So bearing witness, you have been with the Lord at his table, because you are strengthened through the supper for your lawful calling and for your family calling in the household of faith. Who loved me, who gave himself for me, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Come unto me, said Jesus, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, you will now rise from his table, we trust, with his grace and exercise in your hearts, and his praise upon your lips, singing to the praise of God in Psalm 103, from verse number 1, O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless.
Empty, and it will not be filled again on this occasion. We hope and pray in God's providence it will take place again, where the communicants come and sit at the Lord's table once again in God's providence. Perhaps there were some among us that were looking for some kind of sign to direct them as to their duty. And that's what we hear sometimes. People are looking for a sign, some special providence, some even supernatural thing to take place, a sign to give them direction. Well, the Lord has already given us a sign. And that sign was right here at the table of the Lord, the symbols of Christ's broken body and shed blood, so that Christ is represented, his grace is signified, signed forth, as it were, to show to sinners like you and me what he has done. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he himself is a sign. You're looking for a sign. Well, Jesus is the sign. Just as the angels told the shepherds, this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall see a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And that is still a sign to us. The humble and lowly place that the Lord of glory has taken to be the substitute for sinners like you and me. And he calls us through such humiliation to embrace him, the one who is the glorious Son of God, became man. And this is a sign, his lowly place that he has condescended to in order to draw sinners like you and me to himself. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So perhaps you have been somewhat affected by the communicants coming to the Lord's table. Perhaps you have not been. If you have remained somewhat indifferent and you're thinking to yourself, that's fine for the Lord's people, they can come to the table, but I'm quite content to remain where I am. Well, let me remind you, dear friend, that just as there was a division between the communicants and the rest of the congregation today, so there will be a division on the judgment day. And this division that took place in the congregation today was imperfect and was not permanent. The communicants came back to the pew and joined the rest of you in the congregation. But on the judgment day, a division will take place that will be absolute. It will be perfect. It will be permanent. And if you are not trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation, then you will be on that left-hand side of Christ forever and ever, never to be rejoining the people of God in glory. There will never be a reunion after that division takes place. Perhaps you have been affected and you're saying to in your soul, I wish I could have been with them. I wish I could have come to sit at the table with the Lord's people today. Well, why was it not the case? Why did you not come to the Lord's table? Was it because of unbelief? Was it because of your sins? Was it because of lack of assurance? There may be other reasons, but think about these three: unbelief, sin, lack of assurance. What is the answer to these three problems? In one word, it is Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. And may the Holy Spirit enable you to call Jesus Lord, that you would trust him, and that by his grace you also would come forward in a path of duty to remember your Lord and Savior, your Master. Well, we will now conclude with prayer and praise. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, thou art good to us, bringing thy people to come to the table of the Lord, to honor their Master, to show forth his death till he come. The Lord's Supper is a pledge of communion with Christ and with his people. Help us to be thankful for that unity and fellowship with the brethren. May that unity continue in our congregation. And may we be reminded also that the Lord's Supper is a pledge of the Savior's second coming, that the day will come when he will appear in the clouds and every eye shall see him, and thy people will be brought to him in blessedness forever, to sit down in the kingdom of God and eat bread with him and with all thy people, feasting upon the bread of life to all eternity, filling the hearts of thy people with the rivers of pleasures from thy right hand. O Lord, bless us then with grace and with expectation for more grace, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless the gospel to each one of us, and pardon all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.